happen in space. Well, good. It never has been performed by any other nation in space. Stand by. I've lost my voice.
Things that have never yet been done before in space, and yet their civilization is barely 50 years old compared to U.S. 250 years, all the time to grow and use her resources and build and exploit. And well, she's done that. The blood of Indians and blacks, she's done well exploiting, whereas Hitler's Germany, with U.S. backing, went into the Soviet Union and wiped out all of her food belt, wiped out all of her industries, and yet she has built back to this great stage of power. We are proud of the Soviet Union. They will return after 7 days in space aboard Soyuz 29, as I told you, and the capsule which carried two other Soviet cosmonauts to Salut 6, that's when they first carried them, in June. Anyway, we see that this is a first, quoted by cards underneath the library tents, educational pavilions. Be sure you have each one of your greetings down pat, and all of the other things down pat about our beloved PNC, our Prime Minister, and so forth. Vygotsky, as I said, leave the space laboratory to return to Earth. Soyuz 31 will be unoccupied or uncoupled from the back of the space station and recoupled at the front. All new feats for outer space. They will leave the rear free for a supply ship to dock. ADN and the supply ship was being assembled in the Baikonur launching base in Soviet Central Asia. It has been reportedly rumored that Soviet space cosmonauts have walked as far as 20 miles away from their space station. That's how much they're learning about the outer atmosphere. America has reason, with her racist, murderous designs, to be concerned about the Soviet Union. Peru's military government took a step further this week towards a head-on confrontation with striking miners when it clamped a state of emergency on five mining provinces, thus putting them directly under military command. That's what I'm talking about, martial law. Every president has it. The striking miners are demanding that 330 Union militants fired over the past 18 months be reinstated. Confederation of Peruvian Miners and Metal Workers called the Tuesday action of the government a further step in the government's repression of the miners' strike. He said that the miners will soon start a mass hunger strike if the government continues to refuse to negotiate. Well, I can tell you that I have later news on that. They have done so. There is a general strike in Peru, and the military don't know what to do but sit on their thumbs because they cannot get anywhere with the people. They fired into them, and they still will not work. They do not fear death. The Trotskyites, Maoists, Chinese, Communists, Socialists, and Russians are all in the coalition effort.
the British government has come up with hard evidence documenting charges that major oil companies have been illegally supplying petroleum to Rhodesia in violation of United Nations sanctions, which have never meant anything anyway. We knew that. The Christian Science Monitor of the Christian Science Church, USA, reports from London in its London edition, which is a little safer because London has a little more protection for newspapers, that the British Queen's Counsel Office has turned over a report on these sanction-busting activities to the British Foreign Secretary among the companions, companies named in the report are Shell Oil and British Petroleum and, of course, good old Standard Oil. Members of the United Nations voted to cut off all supplies, all oil supplies, to the fascist Rhodesian regime that has only 3% of the population with it, and 97% of what is rightfully called Zimbabwe is under the leadership of Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist, and Joshua Nkrumah, who is a nationalist. But what does it make any difference? There are no rules of etiquette or ethics or morality to cooperation. No multinationals are to make money, even if they mean kill their own mother. Members of the United Nations voted to cut off all oil supplies to Rhodesia after the white minority government there unilaterally declared independence in 1965, but nothing was ever done about it. Documents released last year indicated that the Mobil Oil is also involved in the sanction-busting action in Rhodesia, but the likelihood of court action taken against these giant conglomerates, big business, are not too likely, says the BBC. Riot troops battled thousands of anti-military protesters in Sao Paulo. Sao Paulo, Brazil, is one of the more liberal and more beautiful cities. My sons may remember being there. It was not far from there that I built an orphanage, trying to find a place just like this years ago for your protection. But I didn't find that suitable. Anyway, thousands, not just a few, but thousands, they battled the military in the Sao Paulo Brazilian area. Last week, Brazilian army troops tried to break up a meeting of over 8,000 people inside Sao Paulo's Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church of Brazil, one of the few exceptions, tends to be more progressive. Most are quite reactionary and on the side of big business, monopoly, capitalism, finance, fascism.
Jim?
Anyway, they were meeting in this. People on the cathedral steps were bombarded with tear gas and were attacked by club-swinging troops. After the troops were thrown out and the doors locked, the people inside began chanting, "Abaixo, abaixo, a dictatura, abaixa, a dictatura," and o povo, unido, o povo, unido. Jamais será vencido, which means down with the dictatorship. The people united will not be defeated. People left after the army and police guaranteed the church hierarchy that nobody would be arrested or harmed in any way. Brazil, to our south, is greatly moderating because the people are really coming alive, and we're grateful for that. They've gone through their fascist period, and we're grateful that they're coming alive. So the riot police stormed the University of Sao Paulo to break up a anti-fascist student demonstration there against President Ernesto Geisel, and the same kind of reaction happened. They took refuge in the university, and nothing happened. Brazilians have an ancient law. Most Latin American nations do. A university and a religious center is considered sacred, and no one can come in. Good for that. So socialists, Marxist-Leninists, can go running in there when they have trouble. I will continue when I'm not so tired to give you more background on Brzezinski and the intrigue that you'll see in this part. Be ready for Test 4 on how he chose Carter rather than the reverse. Carter didn't choose him. The Trilateral Commission chose Carter to be the puppet. And if he does not move on the strings as they want him to do, he will be assassinated. Thank you, and I love you very much. Certainly, the next people's rally. I ask every observer, every supervisor, all people, whatever your department, to notice the work and take it down, because I'm going to ask everyone to report. Everyone should have something to report. If you do not, I will hold you responsible, because I know you're not watching if you don't have anything to report. Thank you and much love. Cubans. The Chinese have helped Zambia and Mozambique and Tanzania. Those are some of the things that you can know. And other things, Zaire and Angola have created a treaty of commerce where the railway has been reopened and they've reestablished trade, which is so essential to both of them in their life. You've heard the news in Nicaragua today of how Somoza's being aided by outside sources or his regime would fall because it's a dictatorship of 44 years that has been hated. So teachers, wherever you are, inform your students, have them ready for all kinds of questions, but particularly know our party, the People's National Congress, and our beloved Prime Minister, the Honorable Prime Minister, the Honorable Prime Minister Forbes Burnham. The Deputy Prime Minister, who's a dear friend, is Dr. Tomi Reed, and we have many other good friends in the party. And say, Dr. Green, you can mention, gave us our rabbit start. He's the one that gave us our start in rabbits. And please, all of the people that have all that information, get it together, because I have had no sleep and I cannot take this tour. Too many days now. I just can't do it today. And I have the fever that comes at this time. Thank you very much. So, Brokes and Sarah, some of you good spokespeople, and all, there's so many that won't come forward. Ava, she does, Johnny. There's so many that need to step forward with Shonda and others that, and speak out and speak the information that you've heard me say time and again. If the opening comes for the CIA, and it ought to, you can point them to the Chronicle. We have one someplace. It was in the office last night where I don't know whether the Chronicle about the CIA attack is at now, but I imagine Maria has it, so you can come down, or she'll send it up to someone. She'll send it up to Harry, where he can show it and be versed and be sure he does not lose it. We have only one. And say it's all over the Caribbean and all of the United States now, that expose of the conspiracy that has tried to destroy us, because
It was really an aim at destroying Guyana, according to all the authorities, as the investigation of the House, remember this was a prestigious House Select Committee on Assassinations, and they felt our conspiracy warranted their attention so much that they came free and investigated the conspiracy against People's Temple and found us guilty of no charges. Even the opposition papers said that. The opposition papers are the People's Progressive Party, Dr. Jagan. And our party is PNC, People's National Congress. Be sure you have all your thoughts collected. Click up things now, or notes, or anything, dirt. Wash off those tables out in the dining pavilion. Please have everything in very good order. You sell yourself that way. And we make open doors. Believe me, we've already had some open doors offered next year, and we open doors by being very, very friendly. Anyone that's not friendly, gracious, and anyone that complains, will have more to complain about when they finish. Thank you. Attention, attention. Continuing the plight of Brzezinski, the true leader of USA. Brzezinski proposed a world information grid for which Japan, Western Europe, and the USA are most suited, a grid that could create the basis for a common educational program for the adoption of corruption academic standards, for the adoption of common academic safeguards, for the organized pooling of information, and for a more and more division of labor in research and pull up. Standby question. And development. Brzezinski concluded with a call for the creation by the end of the 1970s of a community of the developed capitalists, by that time almost fascist nations, of Japan, Western Europe, and the United States. This meets with the doctrine of the Third World of Japan, of China, with one exception. USSR, of course, was not included. Western Europe and the United States, the appearance of such a community, to go.
Yes, go ahead.
The appearance of such a community would therefore assist and perhaps even speed up or accelerate the further development of present world bodies such as the World Bank, which, as we know, are in any case de facto and institutions of the developed world greeted to assisting the third world, geared to the assisting, so-called, of the third world, the developing world. Well, a greater sense of community within the developed world would help to strengthen these institutions by backing them with the support of public opinion. It might also eventually lead to the possibility of something along the lines of the global taxation system. The above quotation I just gave are from Between Two Ages, by Zbigniew Brzezinski, the fascist chief aide of President Carter in 1970, by Zbigniew Brzezinski and printed by the permission of the Viking Press, Between Two Ages makes no mention of the possibility of something wrong, something along the lines of global representation systems. The year 1971, following publication, The Two Ages was a time of tidal shift in the world's economy, which set the stage for the creation of the Trilateral Commission. Now it's important that everyone in the entire community understand this Trilateral Commission, because your life, our loved ones' lives in the States are wrapped up in it like an octopus. It was that that caused, which was the stage for the creation of the Trilateral Commission, the presidential candidacy of Jimmy Carter that was planned by the real invisible rulers of USA, the monopoly capitalists, the few families that own all the wealth. Most significant by 1971, the failure of the American invasion of Cambodia, now known as Cambodia, had demonstrated that the United States had lost the war in Southeast Asia and would be reluctant to attempt to use military force to secure or maintain favorable commercial terms from less developed countries in the future. I should clarify, not the military was reluctant, but they knew that the families of the sons that were being killed off like flies in South Vietnam would not tolerate another war. In January 1971, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, first threatened to stop shipping oil to the West. Because unless the price of crude was raised, unless the price of crude oil was raised. In February, the oil companies signed the Tehran-Iran agreement, Shah. And where the Shah rules, barrel which added 35 cents to the oil companies. Stand by, please. Which was raised in Tehran, the Tehran agreement, which added 35 cents per barrel of crude oil, which added 35% per barrel to the price, that seemed inconsiderable now, at a figure that seemed inconsiderably now, but that was sought to be a astronomical and extortionate basis at that rate, at that time. This was the first time underdeveloped nations or countries had beaten the United States economically. It was the first victory over them in their capitalist system. A monopoly capitalist system, I should say, because USA is the monopoly capitalist system. All real big profits flow in to Washington, Madison Avenue. So it was their first real victory. realized by the oil-producing countries could have the price, could have the same price. They could and would do so whenever they moved to them. But in July 1971, Richard Milhouse Nixon, all of us who know a great deal about that gentleman by now, stand by a question, please. As I said, in Richard, in August 1971, the wake of the Richard Nixon debacle, announced that Henry Kissinger had traveled recently to Peking, China, and brought back an invitation for Nixon to meet with Chairman Mao, who was moving along a chauvinistic line. Mao Zedong, within the next 10 months, U.S. relations with Japan, which feared that it would be sold out to China by Nixon, began to deteriorate. In 1971, August, in the wake of an unprecedented U.S. balance of trade deficit, and by the way, you see, one capitalist partner like Japan and U.S. at one moment can be enemies the next, because all that's interested is the horrible, bloodthirsty competition. So in August 1971, in the wake of an unprecedented U.S. balance of trade deficit, we have the worst debts in the world. It's like a house that owes on everything, even the nails in its house. Treasury Secretary John Connally removed the gold backing of the dollar, which began then to show the world that we were headed for a worldwide economic collapse in capitalism, allowing it to float against other currencies, and imposed a 10% border tax on imports, what came to be called the Nixon shocks, put an end to the international monetary system of fixed exact exchange rates. The countries of the European common markets began to establish and retaliate against U.S. exports. The collapse of American military prestige, the unprecedented threat of an oil embargo, and consequent foreboding of spiraling oil prices, just running high. Nixon's opening to China and the United States unilateral breakaway, that means one-sided breakaway, from the international corporate community, the international monetary system, and imposition of import controls hit the multinational banking and corporate community like a snap kick in the solar plexus. The economy of the world was never again going to be the same, and it never will be, according to Harper's R. Playboy, who are both just out of business for about preaching the truth. They're having a lot of suits and a lot of government harassment. The cataclysmic economic events of 1971 reinforced Brzezinski's conviction that a community of the developed nations was necessary. Only such an economic alliance, he felt, could shore up U.S. relationships with Japan and Western Europe, which had been based on the CETO and NATO Security Alliance, now compromised by the spectacular display of U.S. impotence on the battlefield. When you're impotent, you means a person who can't have sexual
prowess. There's no strength. There's no strength. It lacks strength on the international battlefield. Only by creating a united front of the industrialized nations could the demands of the trilateral producers of the Third World be established and moderated. Moderated only closer relation. Only closer relations. Relationship, level, I should say, with the highest levels of the Japanese finance and industry could offset the lease that Nixon had. Nixon's end run would around Japan in arranging the Peking visit had generated. Only a closer relationship with the highest levels of European finance and industry could offset the special protectiveness of European nations. Stunned by the closing of the gold window and also by the float of the dollar, in December 1971, Brzezinski convinced Huntington Harris, president of Quadri Science Incorporated, and a trustee of the president's prestigious Liberal Brookings Institution in Washington, to fund a series of tripartite three-way reports analyzing world affairs. Stand by for a moment.
Go ahead.
Wait just a minute. With this most important subject of the Trilateral Commission, which controls your very life in USA, we need to look at it more. So Brzezinski, president of Quadri Science Incorporated, influenced that president and trustee of the president, prestigious Liberal Brookings Institution in Washington, to fund a series of tripartite three-way reports and analyzing the United States world affairs from the standpoint of the United States, Western standpoint of the Western standpoints, as I said, analyzing world affairs. Now, from the reports analyzing world affairs from the standpoint of the United States, Western Europe and Japan, each report would be prepared under Brookings auspices as at a meeting of private sector experts of the highest ruling elements of monopoly capitalism. These force meetings of private sector experts from each of the three areas, the reports were sponsored by the KIEL Institute of World War Economics. They had been helpful to work with Rockefeller,
during World War II, when they gladly made profits on both sides of the war in Germany and America, while American boys died, as well as Germans, and innocent children, women, all over Europe, and 7 million Jews, and 22 million Russians. But that makes no difference to big business. Anyway, at what point was I? Here now. The Kiel Institute of World Economics in West Germany and the Japan Economic Research Center in action, addition, really, to the Brookings Institution. What they did was, no one was more concerned about the events of 1971 than David Rockefeller. You'll have to excuse these mouth sores, which are so many. Oh, David Rockefeller's always been concerned. He's got so much money, but it didn't save him when he ran smack into a car the other day when a young man decided to commit suicide and drove his car headlong into his limousine Cadillac. Then David Rockefeller, chairman of New York's Chase Manhattan Corporation, holding company of the Chase Manhattan Bank in a Brzezinski's concern was academic. Rockefeller was practical to begin with. Chase was in big earnings. Chase was in big earnings trouble. Local loan demand was failing, and earnings on assets were dropped precipitously. Fastly. Very well. David Rockefeller, a alarm of an alarm really of precipitously, but David and Rockefeller alarms at possibilities, responsibilities as chief executive officer of the nation's third largest bank in USA, and one of the largest in the world, I might say, with huge holdings that keep our people in slavery in South Africa. They had assigned or assumed the mantle of chief spokesman and strategist for the international financial and corporate complete community. He had it attained this honor not just because of the wealth that and position he held, which is formidable, staggering to the mind, but as a result, among the world's executives, 35,000 of whose names he kept in a card file of friends, the bedrock kept in a card file, 35,000 most powerful financiers and corporate executives, 35,000 of whose names he kept in a card file of friends' names. He kept the card file. He kept the card. Kept the card file in a card in the hand of friends. He kept it guarded the bedrock of times of this consensus was his articulate advocacy of the desirability of lowering trade barriers, of the desirability of lowering trade barriers entirely. Yes, as 1972 began, trade barriers were popping up everywhere between the undeveloped countries and the underdeveloped countries. That's the contradictions of capitalism. Socialism teaches internationalism, cooperation, to help all nations to come up to the same standards of living. But capitalists always look after themselves more. So as of 1972 began, trade barriers were propping up everywhere between the undeveloped countries and the developed countries, and in the developed countries like Japan and the developed countries among Europe, among other parts of Asia, America and Europe, between producers and oil consumers. What's that? Stand by. Back to the 1972, where they began, trade barriers were propping up everywhere between the competitive, lustful captives, the undeveloped countries, and the developed countries among Japan, America, and Europe, between oil producers and of consumers. If something were not done and quickly, not only would world trade and finance collapse, I mean a total collapse. You'd wake up one day and your dollar wouldn't be worth anything. You couldn't go to work. But more than that, but also the debacle would sweep David Rockefeller from power. On the other hand, if the moment could be seized, if David Rockefeller could be the one to bring order out of the chaos, it would catapult him to the pinnacle of world power. In 80 years, he would have to be retired. He would spend those last years either as a country squire or a reduced circumstance, as without exaggeration, the most powerful human being on earth, de facto, which means maybe not a fact, but just as well as a fact, ruler of the non-communist, vicious, fascist, capitalist world, Rockefeller decided to aim for the latter. And his vehicle was to be the Trilateral Commission. Rockefeller had been impressed for some time with Brzezinski's notion of a community of the United States, Japan, and Western Europe, but he felt that Brzezinski's recommendation what that the first step be summit meetings of the heads of the respective governments was indeed premature, because he wanted to be sure of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant domination of the venture. The chief technique historically issued by the Rockefeller family to consolidate its power had been the assembling of panels of VIPs who would thereby build a consensus that could later be implemented, yes, and would be implemented politically. For this task, heads of state would be too visible, too responsible to their electorate. Their electoral constituencies would naturally demand a role in the construction of the New World Economic Order. Moreover, it was the current U.S. head of state who had, in Rockefeller's views, thrown the world into turmoil by attempting to create a three-way detente, that means through a peace among the United States, China, and the Soviet Union, the three basic hegemonic powers, according to their version, that would guarantee world peace, a goal that Nixon, yes, thought was vastly most important than trying to get the developed world's ducks in a row. Rockefeller's twist of Brzezinski's concept was the reaction of the action group that composed of the top, that was composed of the top executives of the most important corporations and finance institutions of the United States, Europe, and Japan. Such a group could promote imperialism, trilateralism, while keeping a low profile. The Trilateral Commission would not be secret in the sense that it would be that it would conceal the fact of the existence. It is, for instance, listed as on the building directory as the Carnegie Endowment International Center at 345 East 45th Street in Manhattan, New York, New York, where the North American Secretariat occupies room 711, a small, crowded state suite of offices across the street from where the United States, from where the United Nations, by no chance, of course, has its secretariat. But keeping something substantially unknown to the American public requires only not going to the out of one's way to inform people's threat to that exists. For example, the 1976-77 who lists David Rockefeller has as a member of the American Philosophical Society, but not of the Trilateral Commission. It's a little complicated, but it gives you some idea of the power structure of USA. And anyone that passes this will get a very special reward for it. To understand this is a deep subject. It was really entirely David Rockefeller's idea originally. George S. Franklin, Rockefeller's college roommate, who was the executive director of the Council on the Foreign Relations, had become the first North American Secretary of Trilateral Commission. And he said recently he was getting worried by the deterioration, that means the falling apart, in relations between Japan and the USA over the textile agreements, the oil agreements, and some of these other things, and by a similar breakdown, deterioration in U.S.-European relations at the time, at the same time, he gave three speeches. They were all at Chase Bank Forums, suggesting something like the Trilateral Commission, and he got no real spark at the State he thought, if I can't even sell it to a Chase Bank Forum, suggesting all at Chase Bank Forums, I guess that says that it's a dead duck. But then he went to the Bildering, B-I-L-D-E-R-B-E-R-G, meeting. A quasi, means somewhat secret, group of group of Western corporations and political leaders that has convened each year since 1954 to discuss in international policy, and which met in 1972 at KNOKK, K-N-O-K-K-E, Belgium, later on in the spring. As you know, now Belgium is asking for a European dollar. They're losing that much faith in the U.S. dollar, which is no longer backed by gold. The Arab League is also doing the same. At that meeting, Mike Blumenthal, then chief executive officer of Benex Corporation, subsequently a member of the Trilateral Commission, and now a secretary of the Treasury, said he was terribly concerned about the sharp deterioration of relations. There's no issue, by the way,
that Blumenthal and Carter are the bitterest of enemies, that Carter did not wish Blumenthal to be Treasury, but the powers that be, the Trilateral Commission, sought him out. And it was Blumenthal that saw that the good friend of President Carter, Burt Lance, received the axe and got several charges against him. Well, anyway, he was he found that it was obviously not being handled selectively by the government on the government level, and could somebody have a private initiative that might do something about it. Gave David, of course, a very good opportunity to try his idea out again, and this time, quite to the contrary, the eighth speaker said, "Gee, that's a marvelous idea, and we really ought to do something about it." Rockefeller's goal was to install Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the world's chief fascists, who left Europe because he hated communism, in a position of power by successfully running a candidate for the presidency who would be totally under now Brzezinski's influence. Now remember, Brzezinski, Brzezinski, is the chief aide of Carter and has reversed Carter on several occasions. Carter is nothing but a puppet on a string. The Trilateral Commission is created for a three-year period. Read a document distributed to Senate members and is expected to complete its mission in 1976. In July 1973, Brzezinski left Columbia to become director of the Trilateral Commission. He was in charge of the selection of 200 members who would constitute the closest thing possible to a board of directors of the world to rule and dominate and strangulate the world. The members included the top executives of Coca-Cola, Bank of America, Watch Over Bank and Trust Company, Texas Instruments, Exxon, Caterpillar, Tractor, Hewlett-Packard, Continental Illinois National Bank and Trust, Brown Brothers, Harriman and Company, Sears and Roebuck, oh yes, it goes on, and Shell, Fiat, Barclays Bank. They left a few of the Europeans, but it was predominantly a white U.S. ruling authority that would strangle the world and milk it of all of its riches. Barclays Bank, Bank of Tokyo, Seiko, Datsun, Hitachi, Sony, and Toyota. In addition to the recruiting, the modest, influential multinational managers, Brzezinski salted the organization with individuals who would be indispensable to the plan to put the commissioner's candidate in the White House in 76. How far back they planned. Just a farce, a circus. America's people are taken for fools. They really have no choice.
to assure media support. He included the editorial director of the Chicago Sun-Times, noted reactionary. The editor-in-chief of the Time, which is also reactionary. The president of the Columbia Broadcasting System, also known for its rightward leaning and vast cooperation with the CIA. Some 400 CBS reporters came out, were giving active support to the murderous aims of the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, in the past few months.
And also...